Blessed Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. And this is indeed a high Sabbath because we'll be having foot washing and communion in our next service. So welcome, everyone, and welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And let us get right into our study, and our dear sister Karina will have opening prayer for us today.
Sabbath blessing to everyone. Can we all kneel as far as possible and bow our heads? Righteous and Heavenly Father, we come to you right now thanking you so much for this particular Sabbath, Lord God. Thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Lord, I ask that if anything be not in accordance with your word, Lord God, that it be removed and that only you are shown in this service today. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be together. Thank you for allowing us to be with our loved ones, or if we are by ourselves, that we're not really by ourselves, for you are with us, Lord. We ask that you be with us as we go on about our service, and we thank and love you for everything. In your name, Jesus Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. We're in Desire of Ages, chapter 11, that's entitled The Baptism. We're right down near the end of the chapter on page 113, about a third of the way down. And Desire of Ages can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. So page 113, about a third of the way down, and the paragraph begins, "And the word that was spoken." And the word that was spoken to Jesus at the Jordan, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," embraces humanity. That means through Jesus, we each become a child of God. Continuing, God spoke to Jesus as our representative. With all our sins and weaknesses, we are not cast aside as worthless. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6. So even though we're contaminated with sin and we have gone far away from God, yet God doesn't cast us away as worthless, but he comes still closer to us in Christ, and he accepts us in his Son. So if we accept Christ as our Savior, then God accepts us as his son and daughter, because he accepts us in Christ. Continuing. The glory that rested upon Christ is a pledge of the love of God for us. It tells us of the power of prayer, how the human voice may reach the ear of God, and our petitions find acceptance in the courts of heaven. So the glory that rested upon Christ, which we found out was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit given to Christ is a pledge of the love of God for us. It tells us, it shows us that through the power of prayer, our voice may reach the ear of God and our petitions and pleadings with the Most High will be granted. So we're not cast aside as worthless, even though we're contaminated with sin. And if we accept Christ as our Savior, if we plead with him to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that will be done. And thus we're brought into immediate acceptance and communion with the Almighty, the God of the universe. And what a privilege and an honor that is, as unworthy as each one of us are. But have you ever contemplated how our prayers are able to reach God? God is, well, we're told in the spirit of prophecy that the opening into heaven is found in Orion. And Orion is so many millions of light years away from us. A light year is how fast light travels in a whole year's time. And light travels at approximately 186,000 miles a second. So how many seconds are in an hour, which is 60? How many hours in a day, which is 12? So that would be 12 times 60. How many days in a year, which is 365? And that's just 1 year. And Orion is millions of light years away. And yet, our prayers are able to reach the ear of God as we say them. How's that possible? With God, all things are possible. The spirit of prophecy tells us that the angels take our prayers directly to the throne of grace. So then how fast can angels travel? They travel faster than the speed of light. They're able to go from God's presence immediately down to our presence and vice versa. That's how when Daniel started praying for understanding to comprehend the prophecy that was given to him in Daniel chapter 7, the angel was right there with the answer to his prayer before he had finished. So, dear ones, God loves us so much that he's made it possible for him to hear and grant our prayers immediately. There's no delay. That's how much he loves you. So when you're praying to God, you know without a doubt he's listening to you in real time. And he will answer you according to his perfect will. And sometimes the answers to his prayer, or the fulfillment of the answers to our prayer, comes immediately. So we know God hears our prayers. We know God answers our prayers immediately. But the fulfillment of those answered prayers are in God's timing. Sometimes we see it immediately after praying, and other times we have to patiently wait. But we know that God has heard and answered our prayers through the name and character of Jesus. So the glory, the Holy Spirit that rested upon Christ, is the pledge of God's love for you and me. And the greatest gift that God can bestow upon us out of love is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So such an easy thing as prayer is, yet it connected with it is miraculous power. All the way to the throne of God, to the ear of God, as we say it, or as we think it, it's there. Something so simple, and yet something so miraculous, God has made possible. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue, dear ones?
I just wanted to touch upon a little thing that I have learned in the children's story with the noble man concerning prayer. It was amazing how the Savior already knew his affliction even before he took the trip to be able to go and ask him for help. And the Lord not only was looking towards what he was asking, but he was coming with healing for the whole entire family. And even beyond that, even the area where he lived was going to be blessed by that particular miracle that was going to be done. I have also realized that before the Lord can even hear the prayer from us, he says in the scripture somewhere, help me if you remember the scripture, that he said before we even ask, the Lord already know. And that also can show the power of how prayer is really is the communication between God and man, but it's soul and spirit connection, because sometimes we don't even know what we are praying for. And the Lord even gave us the Holy Spirit to even help us with that, because it says that groan as well. I just wanted to touch upon that.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And yeah, in the spirit of prophecy, it mentions that the Father understands what we're going to say in prayer, because he's all-knowing. But even though he understands what we're going to say, he still waits for us to say it, because he loves to hear us talking to him. Just as a parent loves to hear their children talking to them, especially children that have grown up and moved away from home, they long for their children to call them or to visit them and talk to them. And in a much greater degree, the Father, our Father in heaven, loves to hear us talk to him. It makes his day, if you will. So even though he knows what we're going to say, he still waits for us to say it. And when you do talk to God, then you're building, amen, you're building that relationship, that bond of union between you and God. And so the more you talk to him, the more that bond of union grows and strengthens and increases. And that's why prayer is the breath of our spiritual life, because it connects us with the source of life. So something so simple as prayer, yet is connected with so much miraculous divine power to make it possible. And that, again, is part of the character of God. So the glory that rested upon Christ is a pledge of the love of God for us. It tells us of the power of prayer, how the human voice may reach the ear of God and our petitions find acceptance in the courts of heaven. Continuing. By sin, earth was cut off from heaven and alienated from its communion. But Jesus has connected it again with the sphere of glory. His love has encircled man and reached the highest heaven. So that's why Christ is our connecting link. He chose to be born a human being so that his human arm can grasp our human arm. And he was also God and human at the same time. So now his divine God arm can connect with the Almighty. So here, through Christ, is the perfect connecting link between God in heaven and you and me down on this wicked world. That's why there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except Christ. He was the only God who also became human. There's no other. It doesn't matter what people may claim. It doesn't matter what type of doctrine you come up with. There's no other person in this entire universe that can connect us with God in heaven except Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator. There's no other. It doesn't matter what people say about Buddha or Krishna or Muhammad or Maitreya. It's not true. It doesn't matter what people say about the Pope or what they claim about churches or what they claim about pastors and elders and priests. It doesn't matter. It's not true. The Pope is not God and man at the same time. The priests, ministers, pastors, elders, they're not God and man at the same time. Churches are not God and man at the same time. And neither is Maitreya or Buddha or any of the other so-called divine beings. They're not God and human at the same time either. Only Jesus Christ is. And thus, only Jesus Christ is the connecting link between us and the Almighty. So sin cut us off from God and thus from the source of life. It alienated us from God. It broke the communication. And the only way that it was brought back was through the love of Christ being willing to humble himself and become human, one of his own creation. I mean, I mentioned this before, but what if you had the power to create earthworms? You're all familiar with earthworms. Slimy. They live in the dirt. They burrow around. What if you had the power to create earthworms? And you did so. And then you saw that your creation was burrowing its way to a cliff, and it was going to plummet off the cliff down into a fiery abyss below. Would you, the creator of the worms, choose to be born as a worm yourself so that you could speak the language of worms, experience what they're going through, and try to turn them away from their path of destruction? Would you do that? If you did, that would be manifesting true love for your creation. Dear ones, that's what Christ was willing to do for you and me. Because of sin, the Bible terms fallen humanity as worms. And Christ was willing to become a worm, was willing to become a fallen human being in order to save us. So his great, immense love has encircled all of mankind. And thus through him, we, unworthy fallen human beings, are brought into connection with our God. Amen. It is truly unfathomable love. It's immeasurable. It's infinite love. And God himself loves us so much that he willingly embraces us as his sons and daughter in Christ, the connecting link between him and us. That's why the Bible refers to Christ as his Christ, his anointed. Why? Because just as we need the Savior to connect with God, God needs his Son to connect with you and me. Just comprehending that fact is amazing, dear ones. So it wasn't just out of love for us that Christ was willing to become human. It was also out of love for his Father, who was separated from us because of our choice to sin. So by sin, earth was cut off from heaven, from God, and alienated from him. But Jesus connected heaven and God with you and me because of his great infinite love for us and for his Father. Continuing. The light which fell from the open portals upon the head of our Savior will fall upon us as we pray for help to resist temptation. So, dear ones, you have nothing to fear or to doubt or to distrust God's willingness to help you. Just by the fact that the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit fell upon Christ is proof. It's a pledge that the same thing will happen to you when you pray for God for help to resist temptation. And it's all made possible through Christ. Can you see why the devil is so earnest and sleepless in trying to get something in between you and the Savior? So now there's a middleman between you and the true mediator, which is Christ. And if your attention is diverted off of the true mediator, then you have no connection with the Father. It's been broken again. So don't allow any man or any religious beliefs or any church to tell you that you must go through them or you must be connected with them before you can connect with God, because it's a lie. It's unbiblical. It's not the truth. It's a deception of the devil to break your connection with Christ and thus with God. So the light which fell from heaven directly on the head of Jesus Christ of Nazareth will fall upon you and me as we pray for help to resist temptation. And how soon will that help come? As soon as our prayer reaches God. And how soon does our prayer reach God? Immediately, as we pray it. That's the miracle of prayer. The power of prayer. Continuing. The voice which spoke to Jesus says to every believing soul, to you, dear ones, This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Our Redeemer has opened the way so that the most sinful, the most needy, the most oppressed and despised may find access to the Father. All may have a home in the mansions which Jesus has gone to prepare. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Behold, I have set before thee an open door directly to the throne of the infinite, and no man can shut it. There is no middleman between us and Christ and the Father. So don't let any pope or any priest or any church or any religious belief or any minister or pastor try to convince you that you must be connected with them or you must go through them in order to reach God, because there's only one mediator, not two or three or five or ten. There's only one, Jesus Christ.
The thought just came to me that if God hadn't sent his son to save our lives, and if we never accepted Christ, the only thing our life would be consisting of would be maybe 70 years of abuse and agitation by the devil, and we would have no hope of eternal life. And I just praise God that he loved us enough to send Jesus here to open the door for eternal happiness and love with him. That's all I had to say.
Amen. Praise God indeed. Well, now we come to chapter 12 of Desire of Ages. And chapter 12 is entitled The Temptation and begins on page 114. So as Jesus Christ is the only connecting link between us and God, then the devil was going to do everything possible to prevent Christ from being this connecting link. And right after Christ's public ministry began, right in the beginning of it, the devil pulled out all the stops in trying to get Christ to lose his connection with the Father and to serve another master. All because of his hatred of Christ and his hatred of you and me. Satan lost heaven. He was kicked out, no longer to communicate with God. And thus the devil wanted to bring as many people along with him, as many beings along with him, to also not have the privilege and honor of directly communicating with God. So that's one of the characteristics of Satan, that if you're going to be punished, you try to get as many other individuals to be punished the same way as you're going to be. If you can't have something, then you're going to make it, you're going to do everything possible so that others can't also have that something. That's the characteristic of the devil. So the temptation, chapter 12, page 114. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The words of Mark are still more significant. He says, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And in those days he did eat nothing. Why did this occur? Why did the Spirit drive Christ into the wilderness, or lead him directly into the wilderness right after he was baptized? Continuing. When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, he was led by the Spirit of God. He did not invite temptation. He went to the wilderness to be alone, to contemplate his mission and work. By fasting and prayer, he was to brace himself for the blood-stained path he must travel. But Satan knew that the Savior had gone into the wilderness, and he thought this the best time to approach him. Mighty issues for the world were at stake in the conflict between the Prince of Light and the leader of the kingdom of darkness. After tempting man to sin, Satan claimed the earth as his and styled himself the prince of this world. Having conformed to his own nature, the father and mother of our race, he thought to establish here his empire, a new world order. Get rid of the old world, which was rulership of God, and bring in the new world order, which is rulership by the devil. Continuing. He declared that men had chosen him as their sovereign. Through his control of men, he held dominion over the world. Christ had come to disprove Satan's claim. As the Son of Man, Christ would stand loyal to God. Thus it would be shown that Satan had not gained complete control of the human race, and that his claim to the world was false. So, what is another reason why Christ came to this world as a human being? To disprove Satan's claim that this earth had chosen to follow him forever, and this was to be his empire. Christ claimed to show, not just to Satan, but to the universe, that it was possible for human beings to remain obedient to God's law and not give in to Satan's control. This would prove that Satan had not gained complete control of the human race. So, in other words, in order to disprove Satan's claim, a human being had to be born sinless and remain sinless their entire life, even though tempted to turn away from God. So an angel couldn't come down and be our substitute and sacrifice and surety for salvation. Only one with God could come down and be born a human being. The Creator becoming one of His creation. And by remaining loyal to God his entire life, then it would show that Satan had not gained complete control of the human race, and thus his claim to the world as its sovereign would be false. Continuing, all who desired deliverance from his power would be set free. So by Christ remaining obedient, that disproves Satan's claim. That released all human beings away from Satan's control, and thus through Christ, we all would be set free. This is all legal and justifiable. Continuing, the dominion that Adam had lost through sin would be recovered. So again, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. There's a quote, not a quote, but a statement put in the room. It says, every one of us is important because we are God's messengers to a fallen world through Christ. And that is very true, but even more so. Just as Christ came down and lived a perfect life in order to disprove Satan's claim that he was the God of this world and the rightful sovereign of all human beings, so we, through Christ, can also disprove Satan's claim over us and show that we can live obedient to God's law just as our Savior did. So as Christ was the representative of God to us and us to God, so we also can join and be within that representation of representing a fallen human being choosing through Christ to no longer live as a fallen human being. And thus, we each can be the representatives of Christ, showing that he didn't die in vain for you or me, but that it is possible, along with Christ, to be perfect and thus be a representative of the perfect God, our Father. So each and every one of us are called for a very high purpose and responsibility to be like our Savior and to work along with Him in disproving Satan's claim of being our leader and sovereign. And dear ones, 144,000 different individuals in the last generation of this earth will indeed become the perfect representatives of Christ in revealing, amen, co-laborers, in revealing that Satan is not our sovereign, that his claim to us is false, and we prove it by living the Savior's life in our own life, perfectly keeping the law of God in every aspect. And when 144,000 individuals come to that point of perfectly representing the Savior, then the bride of Christ has made herself ready. She's put on her beautiful garments of righteousness. And Christ says, my bride is now ready. I've been waiting for years for her to get ready. And now she's finally prepared. And I'm coming to get her. I'm not waiting a moment longer. That's all Christ is waiting for, dear ones. For you and me and 143,998 other individuals to make themselves ready. And then the end comes. So it's not just Christ that came to this earth to disprove Satan's claim, but he calls you and me to join with him in disproving Satan's claim. Will you do so? Will you strive with every ounce of strength that God has given you to make up the 144,000 and perfectly represent Christ and God in character? This is what is held out for just this last generation. When the world is at its most worst at any time throughout its 6,000-year history, God has promised, he has prophesied in his word, there is going to be 144,000 of his children that perfectly reflect his character and disprove, as Christ did, Satan's claim to this world, to them. So if you've ever wondered why God has allowed you to be alive just at this time, if you've ever wondered why God didn't allow you to be born during the Dark Ages or during the time of Christ or during the time before the flood or during the time of Abraham and beyond, why he allowed you to be born now? The reason is because he holds out to you, dear one, the precious privilege of making up the bride of his son. He didn't offer that to Paul or to Enoch or to Elijah. He offered it for you and me. And let us not disappoint him. Let us indeed arise and shine. For our light has come, and the glory of the Lord, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in early and latter rain power, has fallen upon us. All for the purpose of making up the bride of our Savior. And may God help us indeed to make ourselves ready. And this is my prayer. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for a closing prayer. Our dear, precious, beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the distinct privilege and the honor it is to come before you in any time of need. And Father, we come before you now in earnest pleading that you will grant us an abundant outpouring of thy Spirit. And Spirit, we plead with thee to work within us an entire change. Convert us in every aspect. Convict us of every sin. point out to us every path that leads to righteousness, which is the straight and narrow path. And also reveal to us that judgment is soon to fall. Please work within us to will and to do of the good will of our Father. And we know that the Father is using you to be able to work through us to accomplish His good will. So Spirit, please bring our Father and our Savior to our side. And then we have all three Gods working in us and through us to indeed perfect Christian character and reveal our Savior's image to others and disprove Satan's claim over us as his subject. Help us to more and more each day show ourselves to be the child of God, his subject, and that he is our God, the King of this universe, and we serve no other master. Help us indeed to make ourselves ready and become one of the 144,000, which is why we are alive for just such a time as this. And that truly this generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Thank you so much for making possible our salvation. And we thank you so much for being here with us now, and please continue. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. What wondrous things God has prepared just for you and me in these last days, dear ones. It is so marvelous to comprehend and behold. Well, let us go ahead and take a 5-minute break, and then let us come back at 11:11 for our next divine service.